Joshua chapter 4 this morning, we'll begin to read in verse number 1. For most of us, I believe, it's probably a very familiar passage of Scripture. But this is what the Lord gave me for today. I do appreciate, again, every man that preached this past week in our Jubilee. And I thank the Lord for using them. I believe God sent us a message. God wants us to move forward. I talked to each one of those men after the service, and each one of them said, God wants to do something here at this church. Brother Gary told me the last night of the meeting, he said, Brother, I'm convinced God wants to do something at Midway Baptist Church. He said, never had such a spirit. I've heard Brother Gary preach. He's preached for me for years. I've never seen that man preach like he preached on Tuesday night. On Monday night. And I mean, it's just amazing how the Lord loosed him. And he told me, I'm convinced God wants to do something. And I'm convinced of that myself. Amen. I believe God wants to do something here at Midway Baptist Church. Amen. Yeah. Several folks that's come through, that visited, that's seen the lights on. And my wife was over here last night working a little bit, had the lights on. I hear the cars going by. I didn't see anybody, but I just heard the cars going by. And I said, just wonder what they're thinking. Now the lights are back on in the church. Amen. And so I know God's up to some good. Amen. And He wants to do something here. We just got to be willing to be used by Him. Amen. And to be willing to follow Him. Joshua chapter 4. In reading verse number 1, it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people of every tribe of man. Command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priesthood stood firm, 12 stones. Shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. It came to pass when all the people clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the Bible says in verse number 12, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day, what's this now? Verse 14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up as unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. People came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake to the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, said, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Let's read Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 through 24. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege you give us this morning to be in your house. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your love and your compassion. I thank you for your righteousness and your holiness. And I thank you for the privilege you give us to gather, Lord, this morning around the precious Word of God. I pray you illuminate to my mind, guard these lips of clay. Help me, Lord, today to say only those things, Father, which are well-pleasing in your sight. I pray for each one that's here today. Lord, you'd open up their heart of understanding. Help them, Lord, to receive the precious Word of God. I pray, God, that you would help them, Lord, to understand it, to hide thy Word in their hearts. And, Lord, that we can leave here today saying, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And, Father, we can leave here today saying, I have minded, I have obeyed what the Lord has had for me to do today. Lord, we can do what is well-pleasing in your sight in this service this morning and this place. Father, we do love you. We thank you again for loving us. We bless your sweet, loving presence and holy name. Thank you for all the things that have been accomplished here at Midway Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for the good week we had, for the good preaching we heard. And then, Father, for the good Thanksgiving time with family. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now today we start a new week. And Lord, we start with you. And I thank you, Lord, for that privilege. And I pray, God, you have your hand upon us. And all that's it. And all that's done. We want to thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' loving, sweet presence and holy name, I pray this, all these things. Amen and amen. As we look at Joshua chapter number 4, I want us to understand that, of course, we talked a little bit about in Sunday school this morning, how we look through history, how we look back through the Bible, and we follow the children of Israel. We see the great miraculous things that God did with the children of Israel. This is one of those accounts. This is one of those times that God has done some miraculous things for the children of Israel. We understand as they came out of Israel, that came out of Egypt, and that God did a miraculous thing when He parted the Red Sea. We know that. We talk about that. We've heard that preached many times of the wonders that God did in those days for the children of Israel. Not only did He part the Red Sea, but He parted the Jordan. Matter of fact, He parted the Jordan more than one time. Amen. And these are some miraculous things that God did for the children of Israel. As we look back in history just a little bit, we go back to chapter number 3, and we find this children of Israel making this journey. They're headed to the land of Canaan. They're doing something that's never been done before. They're going to a place they've never been before. They're traveling over territory they've never traveled before. They're being introduced to things they've never been introduced before. They're having to deal with sicknesses and situations they've never had to deal with before. I hope you get a hold of that. They're dealing with things in their day that they've never dealt with because they're going somewhere they've never been. Amen? And so we understand as they start their journey, as they start out, then God begins to speak to Joshua, begins to direct his path, and tell him which direction to go. And we all know the direction changes along the stream as they leave Egypt for Moses. They begin to make their path, and God leads them down a different direction, different path. They go down by the sea, and they find themselves there in camps around the sea with the enemies assailing them, and mountains on the side of them, and the sea in front of them, and all those things that they find there. But God worked a miracle in those days. So they're not oblivious to the miracles of God. They know that God can work miracles. Not everybody was at the Jordan, was at the Red Sea. Remember that? Amen. God has now Joshua lead this group of believers, this group of individuals. This is not the same leader. So now they have a different leader that's leading them. And God is working the works in His day. Notice that as we read that chapter 4, verse number 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua all the sight of Israel, and in the sight of all of Israel, and they feared him. The Bible says, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So Joshua's now gained some respect for some people, or from some people. Amen. God has magnified him. He is now the leader. One of the greatest things you need in your day, what we need in our day, is some leaders to
to magnify the Lord.
Amen. To be obedient unto God, that God would use them in great ways and mighty ways in these days. It's not a strange thing to follow God by faith, but it's taught all throughout the Bible.
Amen.
We study our history. We know that there's been prominent men that's followed God, that believed God, that did miraculous things for God. And listen, they just were faithful and obedient, and they obeyed the Lord when God spoke and said to do. They just believed and they done, and God worked miraculous things. Even in our Baptist heritage, our Baptist history, we find there's many that God greatly used. She will serve the first Baptist pastor in North Carolina. God greatly used. Over 2,000 churches were birthed because of one man being obedient unto God and doing the will of God. Amen. And preaching the Word of God. God can still work miraculous things in our day. We need some men that, though this will be obedient unto the Lord, that will follow Him. Some folks have asked me, preacher, what in the world do you think you're doing in a day like we're living in, over there at that great big church, to try to revive the Word? I said, I'm just obeying God. Amen. And everything I'm doing, it's not about me, but it's all about Him. Amen. And they come in and they look around and they're just amazed at the beauty of the things that's accomplished already. It's not about you and I. It's all about the Lord. Amen. He's done miraculous things even in our day, and I'm sure that He will continue to do even more. Find as Joshua begins to lead these people, and they come to a place. We'll find that in Joshua chapter 3, they come to the Jordan, and we find there that God has instructed Joshua to do something that's very unusual. We know that the judges at flood, the Jordan is at flood stage. Amen. We find that in chapter 4 that it returned back to the flood stage because its banks were flooded. So we know in chapter number 3 when they come up to the Jordan, it's flooded at the very beginning of this journey. And we find that God speaks to him, Joshua, he speaks to Joshua, and he tells him to tell the priest to step into the brink of the water. And I've preached that many times before on the faith of the priest, the faith of the men of God. Now Joshua was obedient to relay the message, although it might be hard for them to accept. But the priest stepped up into the brink of the water. And we talk about there in chapter number 3 the great faith it took for those priests to believe what the man of God said. There's a whole lot of preaching in that. I don't have time for this morning. That's not my message. Amen. However, there's a lot of faith in that to listen to the man of God. Although it may sound hard, it may sound like impossibility, to obey the man of God, listen to God as the man of God is following God. Amen. And just go with God. Amen. And we find that these priests obeyed what he said whenever he said, I've got a word from the Lord. And the Lord said for you as the priest to step into the brink of the water. Now we know that it was flooded water, and as I said before, we know that this is a hard thing for them to understand. Listen, we're fixing to walk in. There's millions of people now. Get a picture of this, if you will. I'm trying to get your mind focused on what we're facing here with the children of Israel. But there's millions of people coming up to a river that's flooded, and they're fixing to cross over this river. There's no way. There's no boats there. There's no floats there. There's no ferries there. Amen. There's no way they're going to be able to cross that river. Not these millions of people. Some of them probably couldn't swim. Some of them probably fearful, thinking it within themselves, I don't know how to swim. I know I can't swim that far. Amen. And I can imagine some of them maybe had some lung problems and I can't hold my breath that long to swim all the way over there. Oh, whatever the excuses might have been. But God instructed the man of God to have him step into the brink of the water. And as those priests stepped into the brink of the water, God parted the Jordan. Not only did He part the Jordan, but there were some miraculous things that took place after that. First of all, it's miraculous that He parted the Jordan. Amen. That's a miracle within itself that He parted the waters of the Jordan. Nobody else can do that. No man can do that. Amen. God is the only one that can do that. And that is a miracle within itself. Just as He parted the Red Sea, He parts the Jordan. The reason why God did that for the children of Israel, because God was making a way for them to be obedient unto Him and to make it to Canaan. Amen. God had promised them many years before that they would make it to Canaan. He gave them a promise to Abraham. He's going to give them a land. Amen. There was going to be His people. And He had a place for them that's called Canaan. And they're on their way. They're headed to Canaan. Amen. And Canaan in the scriptures is a picture of victory. Amen. And they're on their way to Canaan. And they come up to the Jordan. They've not come through the Red Sea. They
them, and now God works another miracle for them because God is in the habit of making a way for His people. Amen. God is in the habit of, Lord, help us, God's in the habit of making a way for His people.
Amen.
In John chapter 3, verse 16, we find that God's made a way for sinners, for God so loved the world. Amen. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Amen. But should, listen, believe on His darling Son and accept Christ. And God made a way for Jesus Christ. In John, we find also in chapter number 14 that not only did God make a way for sinners, but God has made a way for the saints. Amen. Not only does He make a way for sinners, accept Christ to be born again, to be united again with God, to fellowship again with God, He makes a way for us. Amen. As saints, to make it home to glory.
Amen.
Amen. He has a habit of making a way for His children.
Amen.
Has a habit of doing those things. We have all the promises of God. The Scripture teaches us as believers that He'll strengthen us, He'll guard us, He'll guide us, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Whoop! Goes right there, by the way. The Bible says His way is tried, His way is true, His way is perfect. Amen. I'm just going to go with God. Amen. His way is the right way. Find the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Not everybody saved or saved or saved, amen. Not everybody goes to church or Christians, because the Bible says that there's few there be that find it. I'm glad I found the way, amen. I'm glad I'm in the everlasting way.
Right.
I'm glad God made a way for me, amen, and for you. Not only as sinners and accept Christ as our Savior, but also to make us a way, amen, that we can make it through this life. Psalms 18, verse number 30, the Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him."
Amen.
That's good preaching in Miami. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I'm telling you that God always, always makes a way. Amen. If it's His will, He'll make a way. If it's not His will, then there won't be a way. Amen. You can force your way, you can keep your way, but that doesn't mean that that's of God. Amen.
Amen.
Let me share some things with you real quickly. I'm trying to get to the point of my message here in just a moment. I want you to see two things, first of all, in this passage of Scripture. First, I want you to notice that the people's commitment. They're fixing to cross over the Jordan. God has just worked a miraculous thing and parted the Jordan waters. And He's spoken to the people and telling the people to go ye forth over this Jordan. And He tells Joshua, you tell the people, gather their goods, get their stuff together, we're going over this Jordan. Now you just, let me borrow your mind for just when you think about that, you're camped by the River Jordan. You've been there all night, listen to those rushing waters, and you know that the Jordan has flooded over its banks. And you know that it is going to be nearly impossible to do what that priest, what that the leader has just told you to do. Get your stuff together. We're going over the door. Now imagine someone brought up that guy blows his mind. Well, who does that preacher think he is? Hello? Well, he's probably lost his mind. He must have slept in too late, or he must have drunk too much coffee. He must have had too much espresso in his coffee or something. He thinks we're going to cross that Jordan. But I want you to notice the people. The Bible teaches us some things about the people. They was camping next to the Jordan, but they were to remove their tents and start on their journey. And as they did that, that was an act of faith. They not only believed the Word of God, but they believed the man of God. And they believed in the miracles of God, that God could work miraculous things in their day. Amen. I don't know if us, many of us still believe that in this day or not. Amen. But God still can work miracles.
Yeah.
Amen. It's the same God they serve in those days, the same God we serve in our day. Miracles and miraculous dealings and the miraculous things of God is not something unusual to the believer. Amen. And so they begin to load their stuff up and they start on their journey. That is a great act of faith. They were facing the Jordan at its flood stage. And where could they possibly go? We're getting all our goods together. We're fixing to go. Who's got the plan? Who's got the idea? What are we going to do in this situation? It seems impossible. And with man, it probably was.
Amen.
But with God, it wasn't. Corinthians, and they started toward the Jordan. And let me say this, whenever we obey God by faith, whenever we act like they did and obey God by faith, even though we might not understand, we might not understand the direction that the man of God is going, we might not understand the things that God is going to do, but if we just obey by faith, amen, God will still work miracles in our life. Amen. And God will still do great things, miraculous things He'll do for us if we'll just be obedient and be faithful to hear it. Amen. Then what do we see in verse 14? The people's commitment. But in verse 15, we find the priest's commitment. The priests were told to step into the brink of water in chapter number 3. Well, then we know that was a big old step of faith, amen, for the priest to do that. Let me say this morning, that you can't learn faith if you don't have a leader that's living by faith. Amen. You can't learn to live by faith if your leader doesn't live by faith. Amen. There's a lot of churches today that have people behind the pulpit that's not qualified because they don't live by faith. And a lot of them are not even qualified to be back behind the pulpit anyway. We talked about transgenders and all that other mess in Sunday school this morning. They don't even qualify to be behind the pulpit. But your leader must be one that lives by faith. Amen. The qualifications for the man of God is to be able to trust God and lead the people spiritually.
Amen.
So your leader must live by faith. Amen. The priest's commitment, that was a step of faith. And listen, as they step into the brink of the water, chapter number 3, that was a quick response from God to work a miracle. As soon as they obeyed, it didn't take weeks and months and years. Amen. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. Amen. The moment you believe the Lord, amen, the moment you took that step of faith, the moment that you believe God can save you and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an instantaneous response of the Lord saves. Amen. Boy, what a beautiful picture of salvation. But we find not only in chapter number 3 did the priest have to have a big step of faith, but now they come to the Jordan. And they watched God work miracles already. I mean, He's part of the Jordan. And the Bible says they walked across on dry land. Can you understand with me this morning? As a million some people walking across what was just a flooded Jordan. Not one of those individuals, this will make you sound, it's about to make me jump off the pulpit, that not one individual had mud on their shoes. The Bible said that God allowed them to walk across on dry ground. Amen. When God does something in your life, in my life, He doesn't do a halfway jump. Amen. He does it all the way, and He does it the way He wants it done, and it's always the right way. And so they crossed over on the Jordan, and not one of them had mud on their shoes. Not one of them had to stop pulling their boot up out of the mud hole. Hey, listen, God dried the ground, and He's able to cross on dry land. That was the second miracle, not only a part of the water, but dried up the mud. There's many scholars and many lunatics in our day. I can use that word because I'm pastor, amen. There's a lot of crazy people around. They said that, well, He only dried it around the edges, and they walked around the edges. Well, how foolish would you have to be to believe such a crazy thing as that? You know how long the Jordan was? I mean, if you walk around the Jordan, I'm dry just around the edges, I'm walking around, I mean, that doesn't even make good sense. God didn't dry just around the edges. The Bible says they walked in the midst of the Jordan. Amen. And they walked on dry land. So now the children of Israel had watched the priest step into the brink of the water. They watched God work a miracle in part of the water. They watched God work a miracle in drying the ground so they can walk across on dry ground. They see God do some miraculous things already. Are they worthy of what God is doing? Absolutely not, because they murmured, they complained, they doubted, they didn't believe God whenever God spoke. But now God's worked these things in their life. Give them a leader, magnified the leader before all of Israel, that everybody can fear their leader because they're following God.
Amen.
All right, is everybody with me? I hope I've got a pretty picture painted. I'm trying to paint a picture anyway. The Jordan is parted. Here's the several million people fixing to cross over on dry ground.
Yeah.
And there's no mud to worry about. They're fixing to cross. I'm talking they're bringing their cattle, their horses, their goats, and everything else with them. Amen. Not one hoof got stuck in the mud. Is everybody listening? I mean, when God does something, God does it right. Amen. God does things and He does it miraculously, and He works miracles that no other can work. And so now they're crossing over the Jordan. And all the millions of people, the cattle, the children, and everything else, they come across the Jordan and be on the other side of the Jordan. And God at that point speaks to Joshua again. You study that chapter, you studied it in chapter number 4. God didn't tell Joshua, once everybody gets over, this is what I want you to do. And listen, sometimes God speaks to the man of God right in the midst of whatever it is that God's doing. Right in the midst of the work, God will say, hey, listen, that's what I want you to do. Is everybody with me? There'll be times whenever the man of God gets a message from God, right in the midst of what we're doing, God will say, hey, this is what I think you ought to do. And things will change. And sometimes change messes people up. Well, preacher, no, that ain't what we usually do. I don't care what you usually do. If God says do it this way, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Amen. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Yeah. If God says to do it this way, this is the way we're doing. Well, preacher, we ain't never done it that way before. Well, yeah, they never done that either.
Yeah.
Amen. But now we find that the Jordan is dry and all the people is crossed over on the Jordan. And God speaks to Joshua and tells him something he hadn't told him before. He hadn't said anything to him about this. This is on the way. In the midst of the journey, God speaks to Joshua. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to get 12 men out of that tribe, one for every tribe out of the children of Israel. I want you to tell them to come back into the Jordan. Not only was it a miracle for them to cross over on dry ground, not only was those priests taking a big step of faith to step into the water, but now that everybody's got a cross, God wants 12 of those men to come back in the Jordan. You want to talk about some faith? I'm telling you, I was chewing brothers up your arm. I was gnawing on that for hours. That those men that were chosen out of every tribe was to come back into the Jordan. And one of every tribe. I wonder how hard a decision that was, which one it ought to be. I wonder which one had enough faith to listen to the man of God to come back into the Jordan. That don't sound like it's a hard thing to do. He's just going to walk back down. No, it's a difficult thing to do. Because the children of Israel has done crossed over. And God dried it up and opened it up for the children of Israel to come over. Don't say anything about them going back in. This is right in the middle of the miracle. Amen. This is right in the middle of the journey. And God speaks to Joshua and says, you bring 12 men back in here and I want you to have each man to grab a stone. And bring that stone and set it in the midst where the children of Israel crossed over. Set them a stone there, one for every tribe.
Yeah.
They've been done before. They've been heard of before. Here they come. They're walking into the Jordan, expressing their faith. Their faith in God. Their faith in the man of God. Their faith in what they believe. Amen. Doing the supernatural, their families are watching them. And I'm sure there's probably some of those that were sitting there wondering, I wonder if the water's going to break loose while they're in there. I wonder what's going to happen while those men are in there putting those stones up. I wonder if God's going to let the waters wash them away. Maybe the stones are there for them to hold on to when the waters break loose. Well, if that's what God wanted to do, those stones have been strong enough to hold. Amen.
Right.
Whatever God wanted to do, God could have done. But here's those human beings where they're sending these 12 men back into the Jordan. And they have a mission, and that mission is to set up these stones. And the reason for these stones, if you look back through the Bible and all the miracles that God did from the children of Israel, if you look back through all that, and you follow the Lord and how He's worked miracles in their life, there comes a time when God says, I want some memorials set up so your children and their children can look back on it and say, this is what God did.
Right.
As he begins to unfold this in this passage of Scripture, he says that to have the priest to go back and give them some stones and set up, verse number 9, set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there until this day. They set them stones up, verse number 6, that this might be a sign among them that your children... When your children ask their fathers in time to come, it's not if your children ask, but when your children ask. In time to come, what mean ye by these stones? I want to preach just a minute or two, if I can, on this thought of what mean ye by these stones? These stones were to be set up as a memorial for the children to look back upon, and they could ask their fathers, what's those stones out there in the middle of the Jordan? What's those stones mean? What are they out there for? And we think about that for just a moment. I wonder if there's any place in our lives where our children can look back on and say, hey, has God ever done anything for you? I wonder if there's any place in our life where we've took a big step of faith. We've done something for God and it's made a miraculous impact on history or even on our family. and our children can look back and say, hey, has God ever done anything for you? Can we point it to something? Can they see something in our life that God's done? Amen. And boy, that's a good thought, isn't it? I'm preaching to myself this morning. Is anything that God's ever done in my life, through these souls in my life, that my children can see and say, hey, God works a miracle in daddy's life. God works a miracle in mama's life. Hey, listen, these are some things that God has did. And God has blessed and did for my mama. And God did for my daddy. And God did for my grandmother. Amen. That they can see these souls that are set up. I wonder how many of us have souls in our life this morning. Boy, that's good preaching, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, if I am doing, I'm helping myself. But the purpose of these stones was to remember what God had done in the past.
Right.
I'm going to preach for a minute or two today, 10 minutes after 12. The reason for these stones was to remember what God had done in the past. The problem we have in our day, and I guess that this has probably been going on since the beginning of time, but people have a habit of remembering the burdens of the past. And these stones were not to be set up to remember the burdens of the past. We all have our burdens. Amen. We've all had our struggles. We've all had our hard times. We've had our difficulties in life before salvation, in life after salvation. We've had our difficulties. We've had our burdens. And God didn't intend for them to set these stones up to remember the burdens that they carried. But these stones were to be set up to remember what God had done and blessing the children of Israel. Amen. God wants us to have places in our life that are set up to remember what God's done in the past that was a blessing and not a burden.
Amen.
Amen. Too many times people dwell on the negative. They dwell on the things in the past, the things that hurt them. Hello? We dwell on those things in the past that hurt us. We think on those things all the time. That's why so many people are on depression medication. Because they dwell on the past. I know there's men in the military that deal with PTSD and other things like that. I'm not talking about things that's really messed with their mind. I've never been there and I can't understand that. I don't want to understand that. But I know there's things that alters people's mind. But there's the blessings of God that should be in our life that we remember that overcome all those burdens.
Yeah.
I've often said that those people that have these depression states, if they could just get focused on the positive instead of on the negative. God don't want us to focus on the negative. Amen? God wants us to focus on the positive. Amen? As we begin to grow this church and build this church and see this church become what God would have it to be, we can't focus on the negative. And I promise you, there's going to be plenty of people that come at us with the day. Amen. What mean ye by these stones? What mean ye by this? This is a stone that God has given us in our ministry. Amen. This is a stone that God has given us in our life as believers, that we're able to revive the work that once was dead. Amen. We're able to do that and only by the grace of God. This is a memorial for our children to say, hey, what does that mean over there? They can look at us. Hey, that's where God. Woo! That's where God works a miracle. Amen. That's where God worked in your life and my life and put us together. And that's where God did greater mighty things in those days that we're living in, and or these days that we're living in. These are things that God did for us. It's one thing to look back at the children of Israel, what God did for them, but hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's wonderful to see what God's done for us.
Amen.
There's memorials, amen. There's stones set up. And there's blessed the other week. And whenever the men in the WR Terry went out there, they poured that slab for the air conditioner. And I walked right in and I was looking at that slab. Before they did a good job. They got the concrete and all that looks real good. But over on one side, there's an initial. It says WH. And on the other side, there's another that says TV. I just wanted to shout, amen. That's a memorial that's been put there. That's going to be children years down the road say, hey, whose initials is that? Hey, listen, Grandma and Grandpa was here. Hey, listen, there's somebody that was here that did a word for God and God blessed them around.
Amen.
There's a stone out there. I know some churches that actually set up 12 stones in the churchyard and they set them up. And listen, so they can have a memorial there at their church site. What mean by these stones? It's a place where God blessed.
Yeah.
Children of Israel were told to carry this, and children of Israel were told to cross over, bring these stones back. Tell those men to come back, those 12 men, and bring those stones. And it wasn't for, as I said, it wasn't to remember the birds, it was to remember the blessings. So that the children, in time to come, could ask their fathers. And I can't help but think whenever the scripture says they would ask their fathers, that's a beautiful picture of fathers being the head of the house, teaching their children spiritual things. Hello. Amen. Because Daddy lived a life that was well pleasing to the Lord, and God did miracles in his life. And he can share that with his children. Mama lived right with God, and God did great things in her life, and she can share that with her children.
Amen.
Blessings of God. Whenever the children asked their father, verse 21, in time to come, said, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know. Saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you passed over. As the Lord did in the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were going over. In verse number 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. Why is it so important that we have memorials in our life? Why is it important to do anything for God? That the whole world would know he's God. Amen. He's not just God of the textbook. He's not just God of the Bible college. But he's God of the whole world.
Amen.
Everybody needs to know that the God that we serve can work a miracle in their life just as he has in our life. And that he is mighty. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Not only do we need miracles in our life, or stones in our life, places that we set up so that our children can look back on, and our children can ask us, what mean you by these stones? What mean you by this, Papa? What mean you by this, Mama? What mean you by this, hey? What mean you by this when you say this? And what mean you by that at the church? What does those things mean? Not only is it for our children, but the last verse of that chapter number 4, says that ye may fear the Lord your God.
Amen.
It's a place that we can stir up that remembrance. A place that we can go back to ourselves. And we can be stirred up and say, listen, I might not be feeling very spiritual right now. Things may be looking a little depressing. Things may be looking a little distressful. But there's a place back over yonder where I saw God. I know God worked a miracle in my life. I know God did great things for me. That's the same God I served back in them days. It's the same God I'm still serving today. And he can do it then. He can certainly do it now. Amen. It's a place to remind us that the God we serve still on the throne, still working great and mighty things. He did it then. He can do it now. And it's not time to quit. It's not time to go in the cell. It's time to buckle up and to hang on.
Yeah.
Because God's going to do great and mighty things in these days. I just believe God's going to work a miracle. Amen.
Right.
I believe God's going to part some on water.
Amen.
We're not fixing across the Jordan, but it's some miraculous things that God can do. Can God fill this church? Absolutely.
Yes.
God can overfill this church.
Yes.
If God can fill the Jordan, God overfilled the Jordan. If God can do it then, God can do it now.
Yes.
Amen. And listen, somebody asked me about the overflow up at the top. They said, you got an overflow section. I said, well, I didn't really call it that. I thought it was meant for a crow's nest, but we'll take it as an overflow. Amen. If God wants us to put people up there and stack chairs up and build a little platform where everybody can see, that's what we'll do. Amen. If that's the plan of God, we'll just go with God. I believe that God can still do great and mighty things.
Amen.
I just believe. Make no apologies for that. Let me ask you this morning, are there any memorials? Are there any stones in your life that you can look at? That your children can see that there was a place where God did something great. Where God did something supernatural in your life. Oftentimes with the girls' home ministry, we would gather around the table and we would talk about the bills that were due. I'm talking about miraculous things. It don't have to be moving mountains. Literally moving mountains.
But it's things that only God can do. We would sit around the table and we would talk about the bills that... And I would tell those girls, they all have to join us in prayer. We all have to pray together because we don't have the money to pay them. And if God don't intervene, if God don't work a miracle, they're not going to get paid. And if the house payment don't get paid, then we're going to have to find a place to live.
Yeah.
If the light bill don't get paid, we're going to have to live in the cold. Amen. And so I would share those with them. And then God would miraculously send the money through something. Amen. Yeah. God would answer those prayers. And I would go back and share with those girls, my wife and I would share with them, hey, listen, that we take the check sometimes in church and look what God did. Answered the prayer, and he sent the funds, and was able to pay the bills. Amen. God can still do that. Many people don't give to the church, and they don't give of their time to the church, and they don't give anything to the church because they think that they're being robbed by God. I've got news for you. God won't rob you, honey. Amen. The more you give, the more God blesses. The more you obey, the more God blesses. And I know y'all know that, but there's so many people out there don't understand that. God works miracles. God works blessings. And God does great and mighty things, which we know us not if we'll just be obedient. Is there a place in your life that God works miracles? I would normally give an invitation for salvation. I believe everybody this morning has a testimony of salvation. I'm not going to do that. But if there was somebody that was here, amen, is there a place in their life? Amen. That, is there a place in your family's life that they haven't met the Lord? That's a miraculous, miraculous work of the Lord. Amen. That's a miracle that God works when folks are saved.
Amen.
It was a miracle when you got saved.
Amen.
Every one of us that are saved is going to testify there's been a place in my life that God worked a miracle. That's where He's saved. Amen.
Amen.
What about after that? What about after that you got saved? Has there been anything that God's done in your life?
Yeah.
Yes.
My soul. Testimony after testimony of the goodness of God, the blessing. Don't lose that. Don't forget that. Remember those things. Share that with your family. Share that with your children. The reason a lot of children don't serve the Lord in our day is because we as the adults have not shared the blessings of God. We failed to tell them the things that God did. Don't ever rob them. Amen. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your co-workers, tell your neighbors, hey, listen to what God's doing down at the church house. Amen. What mean ye by these thoughts? I wonder who's going to ask you that question this week. What do you mean you're back in the sanctuary? That's a stone that God's put in our heart.
Yes.
What do you mean you got a Christmas tree in your church? Hey, that's a place of memorial to remind us of our Lord and Savior. Well, I'm telling you, such great opportunities for witness. What do you mean you're going back on Easter night? What do you mean you're going back on Sunday night? Look at the miracles that God's done already.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to what He does in the future. Let's set some stones. Let's listen. Join me as your leader, as your pastor. Join me to set some stones. Let's make some markers along the way that our children and grandchildren and their children's children can look back down through the years if time stands. We don't know when the time's going to end, but if it stands, if they can look back and say, hey, that's where mom and papa, or that's where mom and daddy, that's where great grandma and great grandpa, and they did some miraculous things for God. God worked miracles in their day. That same God's still the same God in our day. They can think about the things that God does. Let's set some stones. Amen. Let's make some memorials. Places that we can ourselves can remember. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good that you give us this morning. Lord,